I know I'd wanted to finish up this lesson or this class on forgiveness. I'm ready to move on from it and actually look at another a topic that's found in this booklet, and it's dealing with pride. And so remember, the lesson series came from a booklet called The Heart Diseases and Their Cure. And so we're going over a variety of topics. We started out with fear, which was actually couple months ago. We talked about fear in a Sunday morning class, and then we moved into worry and the issues that arise from these things that just happen in our lives. And then we talked about unforgiveness. We went through some scripture and had some good conversation, and I want that going forward. I want the conversation to help me, because I appreciate the things that were said. It forced me to stop and look at some scriptures and some texts, and I think we made enough of a conversation that all of us have some scripture to wrestle with, and that's what we need to be doing. We need to be opening our Bibles and seeing if we're doing the things that are consistent with the Word of God. And so we looked at, and of course these are heart diseases that can lead to bigger issues, and so if we don't nip it in the bud early, the problems are going to continue to arise in our lives. And so you looked at worry, and storing up things here on earth, looked at fear and it causing us to compromise. We talked about unforgiveness. You could think about maybe you not forgiving someone not forgiving you not forgiving yourself. But first we have to recognize what it means to forgive. And we looked at how God does it, the forgiving and forgetting, the blotting out, not holding those things in or storing them up, and moving forward. And the other thing, so I think this one was closely connected to it, so that's why I wanted to talk about pride. So in the Bible, there's actually two ways that pride is used. I mean, think about that. What two of those ways could they be? Can we see a healthy way? Is there a way that pride can be used to be healthy? Just curious, what do you think, yes or no?
Well, I think there's a way to have pride in what you do. Okay.
I mean, I certainly think there's a point there. Go ahead, Cody.
I think you can be proud without being prideful.
Sure. Yep.
You know, I don't know where the line is.
Yeah, and hopefully that's what we'll hope to digest throughout this class.
I think the line comes when you take it away from just you being happy with what you've done and trying to make other people happy for what you've done.
Sure, yeah.
You know, you're trying to elevate. You do a job.
Yeah.
Now it's gone beyond you.
Right.
And just you trying to be better upon yourself.
I appreciate that, because we can see that to think of pride in a healthy sense, there's a self-respect and a self-dignity. There's a confidence without being arrogant. And I think that's where it comes in. And we'll discuss that a little bit. But, you know, why is this important? For me, what I think about when I think of having this self-respect is you respect the thing that, and I don't mean to use the thing, but just for the analogy, the thing that created you. When you appreciate who you are and where you came from, it helps help you recognize that you are valuable. And there are plenty of scriptures to show that we are valuable in the eyes of God. And that's something that I think sometimes it almost goes back to that idea of not being able to forgive ourselves for some things, is that maybe we don't appreciate what God has blessed us with, or how he's blessed us, or the very fact that he cares for us. And so when you start thinking about those things, you can recognize that your life is special to God. The thing that's hard for me to understand from the individual who takes the position that there is no God is, where does that sense of just appreciation come from? We have God that we can go to and read and see the fact that when you think, I mean, just look at the state, for example, and look at the beauty and the majestic nature that's out there, the creeks, and yet here we are, created by God. And that's in not only just created, but created as a part of his plan. I mean, that's just something that causes me to pause and think of what a blessing it is to know that we can be proud of who we are individually and collectively because we are a part of God's plan. And there's some examples of scripture. Let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 22 and verse 39. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 39. And then, so Hans, would you mind reading that for me? Matthew 22 and 39. And remember, we're using this to orchestrate the point of there being a healthy sense of pride or of self-respect, self-dignity, and understanding that that's okay. So Matthew 22 and verse 39.
And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
So it's very, what do we often say? You know, the first two, you know, the greatest commandments, love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And what do we say? Well, we're supposed to love our neighbor. Who are we missing in that block? Absolutely. I mean, this scripture from Christ is clear that he wants us to love ourselves. Not to the point, to Eric's point, where we start putting ourselves, and that's almost the same thing as like worry. There are things that we worry about in this life that are okay. But when it gets to a point where it becomes destructive, and we start in this situation loving ourselves above our neighbors, or loving ourselves above God, that's where the issues arise. But we can understand that we are to love ourselves, and that's okay. It's okay to do that.
Actually, Eric, Joe. The three commandments here.
Okay.
Love God, yep. Love your neighbor, and love yourself.
Absolutely. Yep. I appreciate that.
Take the three.
Yep. No, I appreciate that. Tom, would you mind reading for me Romans chapter 12, 1 through 2? Because remember, the point that's being made here is that once you you recognize that you have a self-respect because you know where you came from. When you believe in Scripture, when you believe in what the Bible teaches, you know you're not just here arbitrarily or because of some cataclysmic event that took place, multiplied billions of years ago, but it happened, and we can recognize that we are from God. So go ahead.
Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
So here we go, living our lives to prove the perfect will of God, to have that respect, to have that life that is a light in this world, to recognize that you can have a confidence about yourself that's respected. You're not going around being arrogant. You're not going around trying to draw attention to yourself saying, look at me, but you're living this life to glorify God. And is that something that we should enjoy? Is that something that we should be proud of? What does it look like when you're... who enjoys... Maybe some have kids a little bit too young, but for me, when I get home from work and my kids run to me and they're like super thankful and appreciative that I'm home, that brings a joy to my heart that's hard to express sometimes. And I think when we get in such a negative attitude and we don't really appreciate ourselves, we're kind of saying, God, maybe you didn't do good enough. God, I don't appreciate what you've done for me. God, it's just whatever the scenario is. So there's certainly a healthy respect that God wants us to have because we can recognize, again, that we came from him. Let's go ahead and read one more verse. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. And Tyler, you want to read that for me, please?
Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Show yourself an example of those who believe.
So here we go. We're not to let anyone despise the youth is here, but I think the implication is at any point. Don't let anyone despise who we are, because we are from God. We are created to glorify Him, to praise Him, and to worship Him, and we can appreciate that aspect. And so I want us to think about what's said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, because here we have Paul. And this is a great verse for us to consider, just thinking about someone and knowing a little bit of background of before he became Paul, known as Saul, the issues that he dealt with. Eric, you want to read that for me, please? 1 Timothy chapter 1, 12 through 16, please. Yes, sir.
And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I am a chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life.
I mean, when you want to just look at someone who is humbling themselves, and Tom, what does it mean to humble yourself?
Know your true position before God.
Absolutely. And sometimes we get that out of order, don't we? For some reason, we try to make God owe us something, and that's the way it ought not to be. And here you have Paul going through the situations of his life, the circumstances which certainly could have drove him to be hard-hearted and continue in a direction that was militant against the church. And it's interesting because he says, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And so in his mind, which we'll discuss here a little bit, he thought what he was doing was right. I mean, remember who he was. He considered himself a Pharisee above all Pharisees. He was very well known in the law. And he was a zealous individual. And so he thought he was doing the right things. And what did Jesus say? Paul, why do you kick against the pricks or the goads? Because you're doing it foolishly out of ignorance. And there's a difference here between someone who's doing things ignorantly and someone who's doing things stubbornly. And Paul, you could see, was willing to make the necessary changes because he recognized what? I am chief of all sinners. I mean, who's willing to say that? Who's willing to look at themselves and really say, you know what? I'm living a life that is against God. I need to demonstrate some love for myself and respect for God and change the direction I'm headed. Now, Paul received mercy, but that doesn't mean he received salvation. But it means that salvation was made available to him, because some people will use this to say, well, look, you can do things ignorantly. But it says he received mercy and not salvation, but salvation is available to those who desire it. Paul, in his mind of persecuting the church, acted out of what he thought was right. But this shows that just because we may think we are right doesn't always make it so. And I think that's important for us to consider when we move through this topic of pride. Because there are often times we can get in our own heads and our own way of thinking and be so convicted about something that we end up acting foolishly. Let's go ahead and read Jeremiah chapter 17, 9 through 10. Because this is where we're going to start to transition into understanding the negative side of pride, or elevating ourselves to arrogance. So we'll go ahead and turn to Jeremiah chapter 17 and look at verses 9 through 10. Hans, you want to read that for me, please?
Desperately wicked, but who can know it? If the Lord searches the
So here you go. Here's the issue that's arising, is individuals having the pride, thinking that they're right, but not realizing the heart leads to a direction that can be destructive. That is why it's always important that we be grounded and firmly rooted in what? The Word. Which you can't separate the Word from Christ. And so if you're trying to do things foreign to the Word, or things that are inconsistent with it, well, then you're opposing Christ.
If we don't realize our own shortcomings, then we're proud. It's Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction. Yeah, we don't know what we're talking about, and the best that we do, and of course, others will see it right away.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I've said this before, you brother, but I'll say it here tonight, too. You know, sometimes we get the eye disease. I. That's where that eye and pride comes from. Yeah. Exactly right there.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to be cautious about.
Right.
We have to be cautious. You maybe were talking about it, we'd be so sure we're right. You know, that it's just blind. And we go on. And we can't be doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, a person can be totally right. How they handle something can be totally wrong.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. No, I think, and there's an example that we may get to tonight, but that kind of shows the issue of that at times. So in here, you know, Wendell Winkler quotes C.S. Lewis calling pride the complete anti-God state of mind. Why? Because if that I situation, we're elevating ourselves above our rightful position. Pride is such an insidious thing, it invades every facet of a person's life. One can be proud of himself, proud of his accomplishments, proud of his possessions, proud of his people, proud of his race, proud of his nation, in such a way to take the glory away from God. I mean, that's just the carefulness of when we start elevating certain things or ourselves above their rightful place. I mean, I think sometimes we in the United States, not taking anything away from the country we live in, because we are very blessed. But man, sometimes we rely more on the Constitution than the Bible to dictate our directives as individuals. And that's a problem. That's out of order. Here we define it. We'll continue to read here, but unless there's any more thoughts or... Okay, so we see then that we can deceive ourselves and thinking we know more than we ought, or know more than we do. And I think, what do we read in James? That the Bible, the Word of God, is the mirror for the soul. And who is that mirror? Who does that mirror need to be looking at? Sometimes it's nice to do this. Right? Yeah, oh, you guys, take that. But no, that's not what this is about. It needs to be at ourselves individually and trying to help each other collectively. And the problem is we want to do it the other way. Let me help. And that's how we get Mr. Law Guy walking around like, all right, duck. You know, trying to get a speck out of our brother's eye or his sister's eye, and all of a sudden we got this big old 2x4 hanging out of our head. All right, let's go ahead. Turn to 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. 1 John... chapter 2, 15 through 17, because when we allow our hearts and our way of thinking to direct our motives, that's when this leads to the selfishness of pride. So again, pride used in the negative sense is self-importance, it's arrogance, it's inordinate self-esteem. And that word inordinate, I had to look it up. I don't want anyone thinking like I'm super smart. I had to look it up. Is unusually or disproportionately large. So, man, sometimes we make ourselves so big, don't we? That's not what this is about. But that's what pride does to us. It infects our hearts. So let's read 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. Philip, would you mind reading that for me, please?
Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father,
So here is this pride of life. I mean, man, that's such an issue, especially in this today's society. I can't remember if it was like last year or 2 years ago, but I think one of the top 10 words used was selfie. Okay, I'll have to explain that for some of the older generation here, but what it I'm joking. But what they have now is actually when you walk into the mall, we've seen this, they've got a store or whatever department that is fully for taking selfies. So you're walking into this place and you're just like having a good old time just taking pictures of yourself.
Oh, what's that again, Joe?
The mall.
Okay,
perfect. Oh, yeah, you wanted to be there? I see that, yeah. But let me just ask you, how empty? Like how? I mean, and I get it, you know, I like a good snapshot of myself too. I'm not going to lie, especially when the sun's setting. But I miss when my kids aren't there or my wife, and it's like we get so absorbed in ourselves and we can't see past ourselves sometimes. And it's an issue that has to be resolved internally within ourselves and taking the time to really challenge ourselves. Let me ask you the question again. Who here has been on bended knee asking God for forgiveness because they are a chief sinner? We're going to say something?
Or? No. You asked who has.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I appreciate the honesty. I mean, but the reality of just asking ourselves these questions when we look at Scripture and saying, are we really humble enough to ask these things, to remove the plank, to remove the hardness, and to really recognize that we will be judged according to our fruits? And what fruits do we want to bear? Because we know that you can't have the bitter and the sweet. And woe to those who call evil good and good evil. So I just want us to think about some of that stuff and not allowing ourselves to be consumed with ourselves to the point where we just start the backbiting and the devouring. So 2 Chronicles chapter 26, and what we'll see here is... you pronounce his name Uzziah? Is that right? 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And we'll read verse 1. And you can go back and read verses 2 through 15. But there's an interesting thought that I've seen here. And so if you read verse 1, you see, now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of the father Amaziah. So you read that verse, and it almost shows like a position of people just taking one individual and throwing him into the kingship, although maybe he wasn't ready or the right person to be in that spot. And look at the repercussions of that when you drop down to verse 16. And maybe some of you got to look up, I don't know, but I got to drop down. So you see here it says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to what? To his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. He did what he was not authorized to do. And why did he do it? What was the issue? It's not rocket science. What was the issue? What was the issue? Thank you. It's okay. I know you said it, but I want to hear it. Man, I don't need no church mice here. I want to hear this stuff. Because this is the issue. We're talking about dealing with pride. And how easy sometimes decisions from others, sometimes decisions from ourselves, sometimes being influenced can lead to issues that harm us. And we have to be willing to use the sound judgment through the word to help us make the right choices. To rely on ourselves is going to do nothing more than just prove ourselves out. Go ahead, Tom. Well, I was going to go to another verse, but while you're going there.
I was just going to, it's like David, remember we
Yeah, name.
He had to end up having to, God got him on that one right there.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was thinking that David in Psalms, we read that he was worried about a presumptuous sin. In other words, because he was king, he worried about, because of that power, in a sense that he would have pride to make a decision that would go against God. Yes, you know, God help me not have these presumptuous sins. And I get to a point where I have that power, I have that, and maybe I might do something because of it. So, you know, again, carefulness, you know, when we make decisions and such, and anyway.
Yeah, no, I think that's all, you know, healthy conversation to have, to just examine the motives as to why we're doing what we're doing. Let's go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And look at verses 1 through 3. I had another set of scripture in my mind, but I couldn't remember it. Okay. Maybe we'll return. So 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Ed, do you want to read that for me, please? 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 through 3.
1 through 3.
Yes, sir.
Now, as a touching of things the popular divide, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. Charity edifies. If any man thinks he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known from him.
I mean, isn't that true? Isn't that true about knowledge sometimes? What does this say knowledge does?
Puffs up.
Oh, boy. You're talking about to the point where what? All of a sudden you're an inflated balloon bumping up against the ceiling doing nothing. I mean, no one wants to hear that sometimes. But what does love do? Wow. I mean, you talk about what's being said here? Knowledge, don't get knowledge? Don't have knowledge? No. But how are you using that knowledge through the wisdom that's been granted to you through the Word? Are you using it to destroy? Are you using it to be productive? What's the purpose of knowledge that we have through the Word? Because Paul says it's for love. And how is love going to treat each other? Right? Where do we go for that? Where do we know about love? Absolutely. And how is it going to act? Tom's just wanting a gold star today, I think. He's trying to be over here, Mr. He got beat up last week, I guess. So this week he's a little more on point. So, yeah, I mean, love is going to act in a way that is not to propel itself to be first, but it's going to humble the individual. And it's going to allow us to look to work together, to rejoice in those things, to remove the eye disease, as Brother Ed would say. I wanted to go to Romans. That's where I'm thinking. Sorry. Romans chapter 12 and verse 16. Romans chapter 12 and verse 16. Let me get that. Yeah.
Romans 12, 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion.
Man, I just think when you start comparing some of these things, and isn't the Bible just so wonderful that you can look at the repercussions that happen when people start to elevate themselves, and dude, I've been there. I think I just said dude, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that, but I've been there where we allow this stuff to just, you know, oh, well, I know more than this person, or look at them over there. And all the while, what's the adage? You point one finger, you got 14 pointing back at you. It doesn't matter how many, it's more than the one. So I just think there's got to be a carefulness. And when we again compare Scripture with Scripture over and over and over again, yes, we see there's an appreciation that we ought to have for ourselves, the respect and the love that we can recognize that we have been created by the Almighty God and appreciate that element and share that with other people. I mean, you look at things like depression and the abuse that goes on. And sometimes I wonder, are we a part of that because we're not sharing the good news? So it's okay to be thankful for being an individual created by God, to have that self-respect. But then on the other side of that, we recognize when we start to allow it to consume us, to drive our decisions, to puff us up, that's when we start to see these problems come in. To not be high-minded. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. I mean, there's just always a carefulness of how we think about ourselves, how much we think we really know, how much, just so many different things to the point where, look, it can lead us astray as we allow Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things. So there's always a carefulness when it comes to our way of thinking. So
just look at Romans 13:10. I kind of arrowed over to that just again because we talk about being not wise in our opinions, and again talking about how we're treating one another. It says in Romans 13:10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is fulfilling of the law.
Mm.
And so I mean, when you start thinking about the love, you know, you get the knowledge, you get that, but man loves the umbrella, man.
Absolutely. For sure. And I appreciate that. That was the first bell.
Yep.
So, any other thoughts? Go ahead.
I like Romans 12:3 too.
Were you going to read it?
Yeah. So, through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. To think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each the measure of faith.
Yeah, there's certainly the element of just being grounded in our way of thinking, to not allow ourselves to get to a position where we think we know more than we really do. And that takes humility. That certainly takes a humbleness to recognize that and to be aware of it, and to make sure that we don't allow these issues to take away from our walk and to put a stumbling block before ourselves or our brethren, to not put that out there so as to look at a means of causing someone else to stumble. Yeah, let's go ahead and read a couple of verses in Proverbs. I got some some illustrations from Scripture, but I'd like to read a couple Proverbs. Bill, you want to get me Proverbs 21:4?
Sure.
Hans, you already started it, but let's go ahead and get Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Yes, sir. Tyler, you want to get from me Proverbs 16:5. Eric, you want to get from me Proverbs 8:13. And we'll conclude with a couple of these. So, Bill, Proverbs 21:4.
Okay. A haughty look, proud heart, and the pride of the wicked are sins.
A proud heart. I mean, that's what pride is. A proud heart. Go ahead.
I got these underlined in my Bible.
Yeah, we all need to.
These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren.
Mm-hmm. Certainly things for us to get. And you look at the man who's writing it too. I mean, Solomon, the wisdom that's being portrayed through. I mean, just look at the things that are in there and say, how is not doing these things going to make my life harder? When we do these things, that's when issues come in. Charles.
A lot of the things you see at the very beginning, it says the proud look, and a lot of things that follow are indicative of pride. Better than others, or going to be quick to tell a lie or to shed innocent blood.
That's right.
And a lot of that comes from that haughty look or that proud person thinking themselves better than others.
I appreciate that. Tyler, did I ask you? 16:5?
Yes, sir. May I add a couple of verses to it?
Please.
Right. Luke 16:5 and then 16:18-19. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Assuredly, he will not be unpunished. Verse 18. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling. It is better to be humble in spirit with the lowly than in the vile spoil with the proud.
And then, Eric, would you mind finishing that off?
Yeah. Proverbs 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate.
Can you just consider that for a moment? About the things that God expects from us and how to conduct ourselves, how to live our lives, how to share with each other, how to treat each other, how to remove ourselves from this eye disease, how to abstain from sin, which pride is certainly sin. And we just have scripture over scripture and scripture and scripture telling us the issues that arise from when we allow pride to influence our hearts. And so while, yes, we can step back and look at ourselves and say, thank you, God, have the self-respect to treat yourself right, to love yourself, and at the same time, the carefulness to not elevate ourselves above the position where we ought to. So thank you so much for your conversation. Thank you for this class. Wonderful listeners. I appreciate the opportunity to teach this class and look forward to continuing this conversation next week.